Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, the last golf highlights of 2022 came and the PNC Championship happened, where a surprise father-son duo captured the victory. We're tuned into the classics of the holidays and some holiday light displays as well, too. And this week's guest, we got a friend of the show, Tanner Beard, joining us. He's an executive producer for I Want to Dance with Somebody. That's right, the Whitney Houston biopic that is coming out in theaters this Friday. He takes us behind the scenes of filming, and it's Hanukkah favorites and milkshakes and holiday plans when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. You might have just a couple more days if you're listening right now and you still want to get a holiday gift before the new year for the golfer in your life. Check out DesertFoxProducts.com and DesertFoxGolf.com. Use their code HOLIDAY25. Buy one, get one free offers on all their swag. Check out the phone caddies, the apparel, the swing aid tumblers, and a whole lot more. Again, it's DesertFoxGolf.com, DesertFoxProductsGolf.com. Again, use them for your holiday savings now. Holiday25, the discount code to save today. Cheers.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Boris Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, happy Hanukkah. It is the season of lights as the episode comes out on Tuesday, so that means it's the third night. We're recording here a little early for us on a Sunday
evening.
Yeah,
this is your week. Still Christmas build-up Hanukkah for sure, yeah.
Yeah, but before Hanukkah kicked off at sundown, we had the PNC Championship in Orlando, that parent-child tournament going on there, and we've got a whole lot of Target, Tiger and Charlie going on, Team Daly defending, Justin Thomas came in strong as well, yep. But at the end of the day, my least favorite golfer in the world.
That's right, yes.
In the world. Hoisted the trophy with his son, Vijay Singh, winning. Do we think he cheated out there on the course? Do we think he cheated?
Yeah, you want to test him for the deer antler spray, right? Is that what you're looking to do right now? You're looking to bring back that old headline? Yeah, Vijay and Cass Singh lift the trophy at the PNC. It's something he'd yet to do. And he competed with Cass for a while. Cass is all grown up now. I remember when he was a teenager, and I was too, first watching this tournament in my younger years. But he's all grown up, 32 years old now, as Vijay Singh. And they got it done. They were just hotter. I mean, let's face it. Tiger and Charlie were flat. The Dailies just didn't quite have the birdies down the stretch, and no one else was willing to post that number. So shout out to Team Singh for getting it done. It was a pretty competitive weekend, but I will admit that the top teams that I were expecting to kind of all line at the top, when I was referring to Team Woods, Team Daly, and Team Thomas, they just didn't quite have the firepower on Sunday to win.
Yeah, I wonder, did it come down to Charlie's injury? Did it come down to Tiger's leg for them to maybe have a flat Sunday and not be able to really make any headway and kind of take advantage of the position that they were in? So that
there was a lot
just
of limping,
funny. I will say,
Woods.
Yes, they both were, really. And Charlie had that nice little back off, looked very Tiger-esque as well on Saturday. So. But Team Korda, because, you know, I got to shout out Nelly Korda, T5, they did better than Team Woods. So,
and just saying, pretty impressive seeing as Peter Korda is, by the way, just casually a former tennis player, just former professional tennis player. No big deal. Who also can play golf very nicely with her daughter, who is a world class golfer. So, yes. Yeah, that was cool to see that pairing put themselves on the leaderboard as well, too. A nice, fun way, nice casual way to end the golf tournament schedule for 2022. You saw Annika and her son, Will, the 11-year-old, the youngest in the field, the oldest in the field, Gary Player, 87 years old, showing that golf truly is a lifelong game. And it was a neat way to be celebrated and a cool way to end the season. Tiger and Charlie maybe didn't have all the highlights they would have liked to cap off that season, but it was good to see both of them out there swinging.
Yep. Let's also give a shout out to some guys on the side of the course who we listened to throughout the weekend and we've been listening to together for a long time, because I just feel like whenever announcers kind of end their careers, or in this case, end their time together, maybe Roger Maltby and Gary Koch both be leaving NBC. So what do we think? Are their careers done, or are they jumping to Live Golf? I don't think they're going to CBS, because I don't think they're going to pick them up. So,
well, I think we're going to see them somewhere else, because I read a little birdie in a little article, a little something birdie in the sky told me that they were kind of a little unhappy with the way that things ended with NBC. So it kind of tells me that they definitely do want to work again, and they probably didn't want to give up the job that they had, but just maybe contractual obligations led them down another path. So I definitely do hope to see those guys. I mean, Roger Maltby, ripping the cigs, rolling around the golf course. It's a tale as old as time. I love seeing him at the Match Play out there every year, along with Gary Koch at select events as well, too. So hopefully those guys get picked up somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this kind of also has the same taste that we had from CVS cut Gary McCord a few years ago as well.
I mean, listen, Liv picked up David Faraday. Now that you got me thinking, why will they not pick up Roger Maltby, Mike? They will cut the check for him.
Yeah, you know they will. If it means that they have the talent surrounding them, so when they get a TV, if they get a TV contract,
right?
You know, we'll see what happens. So those guys called their last games for NBC this weekend as well. And now the PGA Tour goes to sleep for a couple of weeks. Christmas next weekend. It's New Year's the weekend after that. So we're going to take a break for a couple of weeks on the golf front, at least there. And we get to look ahead to 2023. And I know you've already got a Run Your Pool article coming for that.
The tour sleeps, but my writing never sleeps. Okay. I'm never out of takes. As you know, I'm never out of word vomit and takes and information on the game of golf. And I bring that to runyourpool.com. So yeah, this week you'll see a 2023 storylines where I walk through what's up next with PGA versus LIV, the technology in the game, which you and I have talked a lot about, the future of the LPGA tour, what the majors look like in 2023. So check that piece out. And then I'm working on something, Mike. My next piece is a little retrospective on Tiger as he turns 47. So I'll have to rewind the tape from this past weekend. So look forward to that coming up soon on runyourpool.com for the full golf analysis while the PGA Tour takes a break.
And then we're going to have our year-end Festivus for the Rest of Us episode coming out as well on Festivus.
Yes, we're doing it on Festivus. Confirmed. We're doing it on the 23rd. So we'll put it on the 23rd. Love that.
No episode Christmas week. Festivus for the Rest of Us instead. That'll be our year in review, and that'll be fun. It's always a fun time to do
airing
Festivus.
Grievances. We're going to get to some breakthroughs, some highlights of the year, some lowlights. It'll be a fun time for sure.
It will indeed. Let's go ahead and switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports real quick, because we just don't, we really haven't talked about it at all here. Congratulations to Argentina.
Indeed. Yes. I had been following the World Cup. It didn't really work well with the timeline of our podcast and when we released things. A lot of daytime games that didn't work well for us, but it was great to follow along. I cashed a France bet way at the beginning. I bet on France to make the final, and they did. So I won that, and I watched the World Cup with the money in my pocket, and it was a great finish. I mean, if you want a promotion for soccer and football around the world, you have yourself a 3-3 highlight-filled penalty kick game for the World Championship. That's all you could ask for. It was good stuff.
I mean, this is to give it maybe an American spin. I feel like this is, you know, bottom of the 10th inning, full bases loaded, two out, full count, down by three. A grand slam is the only thing that's going to win it. Sort of scenario here. I mean, props to France, first of all, for tying this game, being down 2-0 at the 70 minute mark or something. And then
and they routed off two goals in 90 seconds to tie it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, incredible. It's just incredible. So they did everything they could, and ultimately Argentina just takes the prize. So they get all that Budweiser that wasn't sold at the tournament, so good for them.
Now, we were definitely tuned into that throughout the past month, though. That was definitely a highlight for sure.
Yeah. But let's talk about this past week. So last week, Alex, you went to your Austin kind of holiday lights.
Yes, the Trail of Lights at Zilker Park, correct, yeah.
Yep. So this week I went to Savannah's Coastal Botanical Gardens holiday lights display. I don't know if it really is maybe as big as Austin or as good as Austin, but it was still an awfully fun way to spend a Friday evening.
I was impressed. I saw it. I mean, I think it stacked up at least 80% in terms of light brightness to the trail lights here in Austin. But I liked the way it was weaved in throughout the trail, and it looked like it was very kind of viewer friendly. It looked like you had a good time out there.
Yeah, it was nice. You know, it was kind of cool here for Savannah. It was maybe in the mid to high 50s, which for Savannah is cold. So, you know, you had to bundle up a little bit as you went out there and kind of walked around. Yeah. And it was through the coastal botanical gardens, I think is what it is here. So it's they've got whole setup of different garden spaces and everything. So they decorated in kind of different themes in each section. It was kind of nice. Santa was there. I didn't get a video of Santa. I'm sorry. There was a long line.
That's okay. Yeah, it's so funny. I walked by the trail lights in Austin, and I saw the viciously long line of parents and strollers just waiting in line to have their kids see Santa and get their picture. And I just looked at them, and you and I are in the same position in life, married without kids, just being like, wow, that they're just going to waste like pretty much half of their night just waiting in that line for Santa. That's great.
I mean, the question is how many years till either of us are waiting in that line?
Oh,
we don't
know.
Answer it right now, but we'll just throw
I'm looking
it out
with
there.
A smile right now. I'll be in that line eventually. Good times. Yeah. I was tuned into some holiday classics as well too. Just rewatching the ones I DVR'd a few weeks back. You forget the life lessons in How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Frosty the Snowman as well too. Just some classics that have run on network TV for over six decades now straight. The Grinch just reminded me that the holidays, while it's very exciting to receive the gifts, it really is about that holiday family and friend time. So cherish that time you spend with your loved ones truly this week and through the rest of the holiday season. And with Frosty, Mike, the lesson's very clear. You just can't go in to that botanical garden, speak of the devil. You can't go into that sunflower-lit botanical garden, okay? That's just a dumb move if you're a snowman that's prone to melting, okay? So that a little bit of the onus is on Frosty for that situation, but overall great to be watched the holiday classics.
Yeah, we actually watched Jim Carrey's The Grinch today too, so
nice, good stuff.
We got a little Grinch in there.
Tis the season.
It is indeed. All right, let's get into this week's guest. We've got a friend of the show, Tanner Beard, back on. He was on the show 2 years ago, maybe 3 years
for
ago,
his holy moly victory in season
that's
10,
right? He was a holy moly champion. He's an actor. He's a producer of a lot of different Hollywood projects. He's also now the executive producer of I Want to Dance with Somebody. It's getting some Oscar buzz already. Comes out in theaters this Friday, so you can see it Christmas weekend. And you're able to chat with him once again. Alex, I have to say, I think I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The interview you did with Tanner Beard back then was one of your best, and I still think one of the best interviews we've had on this show.
It is now. And now that we've gotten to know Tanner and I've gotten to see him at his events and the productions he's put on as well too, he's a class guy and we enjoy having him on. And this was really cool to see he was part of this project. He told me a while back he was, and it was neat to see in what capacity he was able to be on set in Boston, how everything went down, talking about Naomi Ackie's role, which is getting a ton of Oscar buzz, man. There's a lot of potential for this. I'm excited to see the movie, and we're going behind the scenes right now with an EP from the film.
And we'll get to that conversation with Tanner Beard in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Vorus Golf. Yes, it is a week before Christmas. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know if you can order yourselves some Vorus Golf gear and gloves in time for Christmas. I don't know if it's going to get
there
in time.
It could still be that holiday New Year's gift, regardless if it's a few days late.
And even beyond that, you're probably going to get some cash for Christmas. I mean, there's always one relative who just sends you a check.
I like this angle. I like this angle.
You can get yourself a Vorus Golf glove, super soft leather, really comfy, great grip on the club. It's got that through touch technology, so you can use your smart device the glove still on your hand, which is great. And we're going to save you money, so you have more money left over to go buy something else for yourself. COL18 saves you 18% off anything at vorusgolf.com. 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 COL18 is that code for you. 18% off everything. Go ahead and get yourself a Vorus Golf glove with through touch technology.
Next up on the tee, back on the show, we have an actor and producer. He's an avid golfer and holy moly champion that also runs the show at the Mammoth Film Festival. But this weekend, most importantly, you can see him and his work as an executive producer on I Want to Dance with Somebody. That's right, the Whitney Houston biofilm out December 23rd. It's Tanner Beard joining the Course of Life. Tanner, how are things with you?
Alex, how goes it, my friend? How are you?
It's been great to see you. We last connected at South by Southwest. We had a fantastic time at the Mammoth Media Institute Open. Glad to have you back on. And this was
I feel like I bring up the movie nerd inside of you. It's like every time I get to hang out with you, it seems like it's movie related, which is cool. Golf and movie related.
You do. You just get me going a couple extra notches. And like I've talked to you before, like I've seen you've worked on countless Hollywood projects over the years, and everyone can check out the resume to go through all those. But the emotion about it being the week of this movie coming out and the buildup and everything that you've gone through and seen on set through production, what's it like from your perspective to finally get to this point here?
It's setting in, man. It's going to be a merry, merry Christmas. what a day to be released on. I remember initially when I heard it was going to be around Christmas, I was like, great. And then it was December 23rd, which is one of the biggest years for any movie to premiere on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, my whole family, we're going, my family lives in Granbury, Texas. We're going to go see it there together, like as a family, and it's going to be a big deal. And we like bought out the whole theater, and we're given friends and family tickets, and it's just super, super special. You know, I got to produce this movie with my family, which doesn't always get to happen, but this one was really cool. Janice Beard and Lexi Beard also got to produce this movie with me, and they live in Texas and out just outside of Austin, actually. Lexi lives and does music out there. But
awesome.
Just a very, very cool experience, man. It's like what a holiday gift.
It is. Yeah, it's an exciting release. It's a perfect date to bring out a big time release for a musical biopic. And there's been a lot of great ones in recent years with the Whitney announcement and the idea that this project was coming to fruition. There was lots of anticipation throughout the industry. I'm curious, tell everyone how you kind of first got involved with the project itself.
Yeah, well, I can't talk about the Whitney Houston movie. I wanted to answer somebody without mentioning Jeff Caligari and Dennis O'Sullivan. Those guys are just the hardest working producers in Hollywood right now. And we had actually been involved in another project that was originally shooting it all the way over in Bangladesh, man. So the Whitney Houston, for me, the movie started off with Bangladesh, the two most random things you could ever put in a sentence together. but it did. In that movie, we were actually, it was March 2020, and we were heading over to India, Mumbai at that time to go into production on this picture, and we all got halted very quickly. Jeff was actually even in England already, one leg of the trip, and got turned around. So those gentlemen had a slate of movies with compelling pictures that they were working on, and when that one ceased and halted, it'll still go one day, but not anytime soon. I was able to get to work on some other projects they had coming down the pipeline, which I'm just eternally grateful for. These are a great group of people. I mean, some of the people, like, yeah, I still pinch myself getting to say, you know, I get to put my name in the same sentence as them. So, but shout out to Jeff Caligari and Dennis O'Sullivan, and Compelling Pictures, and what those guys are doing, wouldn't have happened without them. And Jeff Caligari and I, look him up. He's a great producer, but this is like our eighth project to get to work on. So, just a family member more than anything.
Very cool. Let's talk about the location and experience for the filming and production. And specifically, we talked right before, as you were heading to my original hometown in Boston, Massachusetts, where I grew up. Tell me about the location and kind of what made that place right for filming as well.
Man, Massachusetts is just great right now. Boston, especially for making movies. There's a lot of projects heading there. A really cool location, Marina Studios. They're in Quincy, actually, and then there's actually a few other ones that are building. She's going to have an onslaught of studios there, but really cool. Marina Studios was and Compelling Pictures were actually our title sponsors at Mammoth Film Festival in 2022. So it was really cool to kind of get in, you know, jump in with that family and work there. But Boston was incredible, man. You'll see pieces of Boston all over this movie. A lot of it was shot and took place there, you know. A lot of cool Beantown history there for sure, but all of it was shot in primarily Boston.
Yeah, I saw some different theater and stadium venues that were middle throughout production. Yeah, were you at any of those?
I wasn't there the day that they shot at the stadium where the Patriots play, but apparently it was freezing cold, so I don't miss it that much. But that would have been a fun one to see. But what they did with just like the people in the stadium and the CGI and making that feel like it was that actual Super Bowl there in 92 or 3, I can't remember. But anyway, just amazing, man. I mean, what they're able to do with this movie, this is a big time movie on a very big scale with a very large icon, story being told at the helm. And the direction is amazing. Casey Lemons is just, man, is she going to light everybody on fire when they see this? And Naomi Aki, the lead actress. I mean, just the list of awards that this young lady is going to win is going to be through the roof. So very cool, man. Just very, like I said, creatively, I'm 0% on this one. But as an executive producer, it truly becomes, some of your work and some of your legacy and the footprints you leave behind. And I couldn't be more thrilled to have I Want to Dance with Somebody be one of those footprints for me. I mean, what an opportunity.
That's very cool. Yeah, let's talk about Naomi for a quick second before we get into a couple of cast members and kind of what made her such a great fit for this role and what she presents on screen. Because filling Whitney Houston's shoes, no small shoes to film. What did that look like from your perspective and how she was able to kind of conquer the role?
I mean, to get to see her transformation was kind of jarring. You know, it's like it's such a you forget sometimes that she's actually from England,
set,
and then, she would be Whitney Houston and you get to kind of know her that way. I mean, it feels like, just that spirit is still around and still alive. And then all of a sudden she'll, have like a moment of mental break where she's not prepared or in between takes or whatnot, where she finds a moment to breathe and you hear her accent and you're like, oh my God, yeah, that's right. I forgot you're playing a character. She is just so immersed in it, and I think the audience will agree it's an outstanding performance. But the transformation for me, just watching her go back and forth so effortlessly, was really cool to be on set and get to witness that.
Love it. One other legend we got to shout out that was part of the cast, Stanley Tucci. Obviously, he's bringing a lot to the set and with his experience and everything he offers. Tell me about what fans can expect to see from him in the movie.
Yeah, well, he plays Clive Davis, which is just an icon, and also another producer on the film. And I know that those two gentlemen got to talk and hang out. And it's really cool, especially like if you Stanley Tucci's been in a billion movies.
Crazy,
yeah. How great of an actor he's been his entire career. But to see his transformation, dude, to play for him to play Clive Davis and that being such an iconic figure in the music world and him just effortlessly nailing that as well. That was one of probably the highlight of going to set every day is you just get to watch this array of the, some of the best actors doing it on such a large scale and stage. After a while, you just, like I said, even back with Naomi's character, you just forget it's not them. It feels like you're in a time machine with the sets that were built and everything else. And I mean, it's Tucci, baby.
Very cool. Awesome. Again, I Want to Dance with Somebody, December 23rd. Get excited for it. One thing that you did tease very nicely was I got to tune in briefly for the Whitney Houston night on The Voice as well, which was neat for anyone who needs to run that back. Tell me what was the coolest experience or favorite song or cover you saw on that broadcast. That was a cool little night feature they did.
I thought everybody did so great. I couldn't pick just one, but when I was told that was happening, I just thought that was, such a cool thing for The Voice to do, but also, as part of broadcasting for the movie, and just getting to incorporate, you made it, it's almost like doing an, like that was the activation, people got to really in the songs and how important they are in our pop culture and culture altogether and how on a global scale they're known. And when I saw it on The Voice, I'm not going to sit here and fudge you, dude. I was sitting there singing and dancing and thought it was great and just super hyped. And I've never really gotten to experience a project I've been involved with have that kind of marketing and make it so fun. It's not just like any old other commercial or teaser. It's like, that's the coolest thing you could have done on The Voice. Come on, it doesn't get much bigger.
Yeah, the entertainment was on full display. And that's the unique part about Whitney is not only are we going to get this amazing story in the movie, but there's also just this fun-loving music that just has to make you want to get up and move. So it's a great combination, and I hope that shows in the film as well.
People in the theaters are going to be like dancing and singing while the movie's going, I have a feeling. So that's pretty exciting.
Nice. We'll ask about the vibe in a second. Let's get to some other quick shot questions here with Tanner Beard here. It's I Want to Dance with Somebody again, coming out in theaters this Friday. I saw we just missed our paths crossing in Boston when I was visiting my family last Christmas and you were filming. But I know you got to get to some iconic Boston locations. And I think you got to some very classic Boston bars as well, too. I believe you either got to the Union Oyster House or Bell in Hand or one of those classic taverns. But what were your favorite memories for going out on the town in Boston when you're filming?
I did. You know what I even saw is I know that you'll probably think I'm cheesy, but I had a day by myself where there wasn't much, wasn't much going on. It was like a weekend day. And I was like, I'm going to go to where the Boston Tea Party happened. And I'm going to
yes.
go
do this. Okay, nice.
It was awesome. And I was just rolling solo. I got dropped off by an Uber, and that whole area over there has just been, totally redone. And from what everybody's told me, I don't have anything to compare it to, but it was like, it's a really cool part of Boston. And I was just geeking out on the history, dude. I'm a patriot, man. I love me some America. And just to get to go back and see the ships, that they recreated and stuff that were there. That was actually, nerdily enough, one of my favorite things to do. Then we went to some other cool bars, man. Is there one called like Seven or something else, man? It's we'd go to these bars and they were like right there next to each other. Anyway, I'll get you the names when I can remember, but normally when we're out looking for bars, they become kind of a blur anyway.
Of course,
but I gotta throw a shout out to my favorite spot, is the Newbury Hotel. That is
that's a great spot. Boston.
It's right across from the Commons there. And the Contessa on top of the roof is like just the best restaurant on the planet. But big shout out to Newbury. Those people are always so grateful, are so great to me. I'm so grateful to for them. They're awesome. But shout out to the Newbury.
Very cool. Yeah. Love the city. I can't wait to get back there soon. Let's get to it. It was a while before we even got to any sort of golf conversation here. What's the update with your golf game? And also shout out the White Buffalo line as well, yeah, too. The last time we spoke, you were working with shipping container issues off the coast of Long Beach. How's everything with the business going there?
You know, man, White Buffalo was a beautiful and great run. It was such a cool thing to do. To stay active with golf and just, try to get the best you could out of the pandemic.
Love those shirts, man.
But I actually, we kind of sold out. Like, we made a limited run. And, I have a few left here and there that I wanted to hang on to, just as the years go by, because okay. there won't be any more. But I actually, after we got to a place with White Buffalo where we're like, hey, man, this was cool. This was a lot of fun. We did a thing with Touch of Modern, where we actually were able to move a lot of shirts and got a lot of great feedback.
Some of that, yeah.
So thank you, Touch of Modern. And we may do one more limited tiny run with what we have left. But yeah, man, White Buffalo was just a really cool thing to have been a part of. And it had its day and it was a lot of fun. But I'm actually a Callaway man these days, man. I got to do a really cool shoot with Callaway for their Big and Tall coming out pretty soon. My big ass is 6'6".
Yes, of course. Yeah, you fit the vibe perfectly.
Floating around with this big old dumb body on the golf course, but they made some really cool clothes for guys my size. So those that like ex NFL player look, Callaway apparel will definitely be the way to go. And they got some really good stuff, and I got to try it and before anybody else. And so I'm
okay. Cool. Tanner Beard, Callaway man, big and tall. Breaking news.
Their shoes. I wear a size 15, bro. Uh-huh. So it is so difficult to find golf shoes.
Yeah.
And they finally started making some Bigfoot clown shoes for guys like me. And they're dope. I know I can't say the F word on here. I almost dropped the F bomb. They're very cool.
Indeed. Very cool. I love it. Let's give a quick shout out to your boys. How about them Cowboys so far? We're heading into Christmas week right now as our families are listening. I mean, you've been in this position many times. You know what it's like. What's it going to take for the Cowboys to kind of get over the hump in the postseason here in January?
They're there. They're the team we always wanted them to be. Our defense is out of control. We are the Super Bowl team we hoped for. I think we have one of the best teams the Cowboys has seen in about 25 years. I mean, I was a big fan of the Romo team when he had Dez Bryant on there. It was a catch, Green Bay.
Yes, it was. Yep, absolutely.
That would have been a year I thought we would have been a shoe-in for the Super Bowl, but as the curse would have it, it's gone. I think this is the team that's going to break the Cowboys' curse after 27, 28 years, and we're going to go back to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win it. You said it. I'm saying it right now from my mouth.
Oh, I mean, I'm picturing the Cowboys at the Super Bowl in Scottsdale the same week as the Waste Management Phoenix Open. That just seems like a correct vibe. That could happen.
Just seems like those two worlds need to collide.
It could. Awesome. So again, it's I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston biofilm, executive producer Tanner Beard here. You said you're renting out a theater. What's going to be the vibe for watching the movie with the family and friends? Is it popcorn and soda? Is this cocktails and beer? What are we looking at here when we enjoy the experience?
When it comes to the movie theater, it's the popcorn and soda, man. Popcorn, soda, and Red Vines was always my go-to. I still to this day, whether I really eat it all or drink the Coke or not, I'm old school when it comes to the theater, and I buy that almost every single movie I do see at the theater, which I'm trying to see more and more of. You know what I mean? This being a theatrical experience, I think is very cool. You know, we were kind of, everybody was fighting for that for the last several years, and I think still are. I mean, do you get out to the movie theater that much?
Yeah, I'm locked in, Tanner, because shout out to Flicks Brewhouse. We got $5 Wednesday movies. So I'm going pretty regularly now these days. My wife is getting me out, and we're seeing a lot. So I'll be there the Wednesday after Christmas watching I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Really,
so that's my plan.
I really wanted to see the Santa Claus movie where the guy from Stranger Things is playing Santa.
Yeah, a little Violent Night. Yeah,
Violent Night. I want to see that.
My wife gave it a surprisingly good review, so you should get out there.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, it just looks fun. It's kind of like, I know that somebody mentioned it was kind of like Die Hard again, or, you know, Die Hard, but for a full-blown Christmas movie this time. But it just looks like a blast, and it just seems like if all those talented people are going to be in it, it's probably worth watching to some degree, right?
Definitely, yeah. So it's Violent Night, and then it's I Want to Dance with Somebody for your holiday movie theater plans. It's right in theaters this Friday, the 23rd.
Don't see Avatar. Don't watch Babylon. Go see I Want to Dance with Somebody, and you won't regret it.
I love it. It's Tanner Beard. We'll get him walking some carpets, hopefully really soon, for this amazing work. And look forward to seeing the movie. And best of luck with all your content and projects coming up soon.
Thanks, man. You guys have always been great. And I can't wait to hit the links again sometimes, man.
Absolutely. We'll see you out there soon.
All right. Cheers.
And we're back. Great chat there with Tanner Beard, as always. I Want to Dance with Somebody in theaters this Friday, December 23rd. Naomi Ackie, Stanley Tucci. Grab yourself some popcorn and soda. Get yourself some Junior Mints. They're junior.
That's your go-to candy for a blockbuster like this, Junior Mints. You like that?
Always. Junior Mints are always the candy to have, whether you're in a movie theater or in a operation theater. They are the candy to have. But again, Naomi Ackie, Stanley Tucci,
yep,
with Tanner Beard as executive producer.
I'm going to go see it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Excited. Good stuff. I appreciate that conversation with Tanner. Great having him on. If you enjoyed that conversation or anything else you've heard from the episode, be sure to subscribe right now on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen to. Again, thanks for joining. And yeah, we appreciate having Tanner on, and looking forward to seeing the movement from that film. This is just the beginning this week, and I hope everyone checks it out.
Let's talk college football. Alex, you have redeemed yourself with this first week of bowl games. 6-2 in your picks.
Yeah, that was big.
Thank the Lord, because you came in with a horrific record on the season in your picks. So you did well. So let's go into this week in bowling. What are we talking about on your Run Your Pool article?
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's a lot of smorgasbord of games, if you will. They're feathered nicely across the Christmas week schedule. So you won't go a day without games. If it's not the NFL, it'll be college bowling. There's some interesting ones throughout Christmas week. I'm looking to duplicate that feat. 8 more coming up on this week's runyourpool.com article that I'll have a pick for each and every one on. Let's talk about the bowl of the week, though, Mike. You appreciate this one. It's late on Christmas Eve night. Maybe you're flipping around through 24 hours of a Christmas story.
Favorite bowl game of the year, every year.
You know, you want to just get a little bit of a respite from the holidays and the winter and the cold weather, and you want to see something a little bit different. And you flip to ESPN, and the Hawaii Bowl is on. The Easy Post Hawaii Bowl, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Christmas Eve night. It's San Diego State and Middle Tennessee State. It really doesn't even matter who's playing. It's just the idea that two teams are playing in paradise on Christmas Eve night. There's nothing better.
You know, I remember plenty of times as a kid kind of, you know, you're tired. It's Christmas Eve. You're tired. You're excited, but you're tired. You just don't know what to watch. You're tired of Christmas movies, maybe, because right. you've been watching them all day. And I remember my brother putting it on, and we would just kind of watch the game before going to bed on Christmas Eve. It's just kind of one of those Christmas memories for me, watching the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, I've indoctrinated my in-laws as well, too. In the years past, I visited Illinois. I put this on, and they really were confused and generally didn't understand that there was actually a game live going on that late at night. but I think they've come to know it as a reality that I am just a degenerate that will find any bowl game possible. So if you're just like that and you're into betting those games, check out runyourpool.com for my article and my This Week in Bowling preview. Let's see if we can match those hot picks as well.
Let's talk about the NFL. Let's start with your picks. Again, Sunday evening, so there are two games still to be played that have not been decided for us. But your picks, 1-4, what happened?
Absolutely atrocious weekend on the NFL. The NFL absolutely murdered me. It not only just my wallet, but my heart, my brain, and my soul as well, too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that again. Sunday evening, Giants and Commanders are playing right now, so we don't know how my Giants did. But your Patriots, Alex, how does it feel? How does it feel to be part of the fan of the losing team of one of the wildest, craziest, stupidest maybe endings of a football game, where a lateral in the final seconds of a tie game, in which you could just go to overtime, a lateral is picked off and run back 49 yards for a touchdown. How does that feel?
By a linebacker, of all things. By
a former Patriot as well.
Yes, thank you. That's right. Chandler Jones. Shout out Chandler Jones. Absolutely atrocious. Not my Patriots. Not my Bill Belichick run organization.
Hashtagging that?
not my Bob Kraft owned organization. Never would we ever. Who would dare be so stupid in a moment like this? Yeah. When you have a tie game and overtime looming, to throw the ball sideways, I really do honestly, unfortunately, place 80 to 90% of the blame on Jakobi Meyers for making that dumb throw. But the idea that we were being that unnecessarily aggressive on a play that was originally a draw handoff, to all of a sudden turn that into a helter-skelter kamikaze Hail Mary lateral play was dumb on the dumbest of levels. And it's shocking, the path, hashtag the path that I love to create for the Patriots to get into the playoffs, no matter how good or bad they are, is fleeting. It is 99.3% gone. And it's just sad to see what it enveloped on Sunday. I'm still kind of in shock and awe as we record right now.
I mean, was this, as a very casual football fan, was this a drawn play to allow for laterals, or was this players on the field making dumb decisions? Because either way, this is very un-Bill Belichick.
It is. It's right. It comes it down really to coaching, is. Regardless of how it gets drawn up X's and O's wise. And it was literally a handoff draw that got about 15, 20 yards. And then all of a sudden, there was someone available to pick up a pitch loose ball. And then things got frantic from there. So they may have the idea to do that. But regardless, the coaching needs to be better in that moment. Mm-hmm. The game scenario lost moments by this team have mounted both on special teams and on offense, particularly. The defense has held its own for the most part. Absolutely atrocious for Patriots fans and a loss for the ages. Listen, Mike, I was at maybe the other craziest one, the Hail Mary in Miami, where the Dolphins completed an unbelievable series of laterals to beat the Patriots with 0 seconds left. This may have matched that in craziness. Just quite a moment to look back on for Patriots fans.
Just real quick, too, since we're talking about crazy games here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Matt Ryan.
Yes. Let's also do that.
Part of two of the worst. he is the quarterback of the team that lost the two worst come from behind victories. Okay.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that drug bringing me back to reality. Wow. I appreciate that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I mean, how do you keep playing as Matt? I'm sorry. I don't usually say that. How do you keep playing football as Matt Ryan?
And it's sad because like there's points that he put up, but like still him being there for both of those. Like there's something wrong with that. Something that bothers me about that. I don't know. What a wild scene for the Colts there.
It's crazy. Just absolutely crazy. All right, let's hashtag always in with food.
Yes, let's wrap it. We're getting into the holidays here. It's our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast, our food journeys, chronicled on Instagram at always end with food. I had a big little day trip that I did, if you saw, this past week. I ran out to Katy, Texas, just outside of Houston. I got to make my debut at Walk-On's. I don't know if you've ever seen a Walk-On's location before.
It's
a chain that's grown a lot, but it's basically a Southern Cajun food chain that was born by a couple of LSU Walk-On football players who literally created the name and brand. So they had some really great Cajun food, got some boom boom shrimp and a cocktail and a beer, and enjoyed that location. Looking forward to trying more. But the real highlight was trying Pop Stroke's grand opening in Katy, Mike. You saw the photos and the video and the reel. This is a double-decker rooftop bar, 36 holes, designed by Tiger. Milkshakes and ice cream, full food menu, bar open to me. Quite the golfing experience for anyone in Texas, for sure.
Yeah, you know, if I make my way back down to Orlando and have the time, I'll try to go to the one that's down there. But how'd you score? What was your score at the end of the day there? That's the question. How'd you
do? Yeah, I didn't like my first round. Ironically, my only ace I had the entire night, I did not get on video. And then from that moment after I made the ace, I was trying to get an ace on video for about an hour and did not do that successfully.
Of course not.
But I shot even par and I got beat in the clubhouse at 2 under par about 30 minutes in. So I can say maybe that for the first 20 minutes of the existence of this location, since I was literally the first person in the door at the grand opening, I had the course record. But it was very fleeting. I will say that.
Yeah. I will say I did see in that video you posted, as we well know from when we had our conversation about Pop Stroke.
Yes, back when they were opening. Wes Abbott from Fort Myers. Yeah.
Drinks were brought to you out on the course.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's a bar out there. There are four bars at this Katy location, Mike. as if you can't find a beverage anywhere close enough, there's one out on the course as well, where you can literally, with the Pop Stroke app, by scanning a QR code and downloading the app, order drinks to whatever hole you're on. Life is good, right? Life is good.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Before we talk about our food plans for the next week, let's just talk Hanukkah food, because like we said, Hanukkah is underway. My wife and I just hosted a wonderful little Hanukkah get together. And in honor of Hanukkah, which of course is the celebration of when the oil in the temple, this was only supposed to last one night, lasted eight nights instead.
What a miracle.
Why we do it for eight nights. And that's why we fry things for Hanukkah. Mm. So we made potato latkes, which were fantastic. And the best jelly donuts I've ever made, just hands down. Mm. It was, I took my babka dough and I just fried that. And it was amazing. It was just spectacular.
What is it about a pastry or a cracker or some sort of dessert or bread with some sort of fruit filling that just feels very holiday-ish? It's just got that holiday vibe. It's the red coloring, I think, but it just does something special for me.
It might be.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, plans this week are pretty straightforward. I'm heading to Christmas in Illinois, so I'm getting the Italian beef. I'm getting all the pizzas that I need in my system. But here's the real element that I'm fighting, Mike. It is the cold, the highs, high temperatures, nowhere above 25 degrees in northern Illinois. We've got lows below zero, wind chills in the negatives with wind. I guess how am I really going to survive the week is the main question here.
You stay indoors.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of restaurants and a lot of bars and alcohol jackets and covering up and staying inside pretty much. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You know, I'm traveling for the first time in like 14 years for Christmas as well. We're going up to the in-laws in Virginia. Not a whole lot of time that we're going to be there, so we may not be able to explore. But I guess I'm cooking Christmas Eve, so that'll be good.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you have a menu plan for Christmas Eve to cook?
Standing rib roast. We're doing a standing rib roast.
Nice.
Pictures. Like I've done for the last two Christmases. It's always amazing and spectacular, and we're doing that again. So
good stuff. Indeed. Well, everyone out there, enjoy your holiday season, whenever it is, wherever it is. Enjoy that time with your family and your loved ones. Hold them a little bit closer. Enjoy the holiday season from all of us at Course of Life. Have a happy holidays and tune in next week, later this week, in fact, for our Festivus end of year recap, where we get into all the craziness of 2022 and what's to behold in 2023. Everyone have a good week. We'll see you next week.